So the one verse of scripture that I want to read is this, and it's, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Praise God. And that ends the reading of the word. Okay, I did ask you to stay open. We're going to go through 6, 7, maybe a little bit 8. I don't know. It depends upon what the word of God says. But we're going to talk about being battle ready. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. And we clearly know and understand that the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. And we know that we don't come and we don't suit up and gear up and go into a fight. But we need to be prepared. And we need to be prepared to be the vessels that God would want to use in whatever your particular battle may be. Let me ask the question, is there a battle going on in anybody's life right now? Amen. Is there a battle going on? And if you don't have one, praise God for you. Sit back, wait a minute, give yourself a day or two, and then reflect back, and then raise your hand and give God some glory. So you play a role in the battle. And lack of preparation leads to destruction, as anything else in life. Yes, we're saved. Yes, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, we know the word of God. But when it gets time to really get into where God would have us to be, so we can be used effectively, not just being there, not just lined up, but to be used effectively, you need to prepare yourself. Israel as a nation is in captivity again. They're disobedient. They're idol worship. They don't do what they're supposed to do. They're fooling around with Baal again. And for the last 7 years, they have been persecuted by the Midianites. Yeah. They took their substance away. I mean, they had them hiding. They got to the point, it reminded me of sharecropping, because Israel will work the land, get everything all right and ready, and next thing you know, the Midianites come in and just take it all up. Take everything. I've never lived in the South, but I've read a lot about it, and it was similarly the same thing. You know, you work the land, and then at the time when you think you're going to receive your profit or your benefit or your substance, the person who owns the land comes and takes it from you.
Yeah.
Can't be a good feeling. Don't think I would like that. But aside from doing that, they also let their animals and things come in and tear the land up even more. So it's not the fact that just took everything from you. They tore up your ability to go forward and try and do anything more. Does that sound like the devil? I mean, does that sound like the enemy? I mean, he will come in and wreak havoc in your house. He will go after anybody and anything that says, I want to be a tool of Satan. And sometimes we sign up and we don't even know we're signing up. But you know what? You're a tool of Satan. And then all of a sudden, all your prayers, all your tarrying, all your fasting, all of this is all torn up. Because the enemy's come in. And he's taking all of your substance, taking everything that you needed. And then on top of that, he always has to leave you worse than you were. So he'll go in and mess up your heart. He'll go in and mess up your mind. He'll go in and mess up your money. He'll mess up your purpose. You'll turn your back on God. That's what he does. That's why you don't play with him. No, that's why you don't play with him. No, I mean, I don't think we understand, and I'm not preaching a devil's sermon at all, but I think you need to understand who your enemy is. Before the United States goes in and invades a country, they know everything about them. They have strategically put everything in place, so when they go in, they're going to win. And if I don't win the first time, I'll catch you on the back end, and I'll do a little Pearl Harbor on you, something like that. All right, you might get me the first time, but other than that, I'm coming after you. We pray, we sit in a corner, and then we tremble. We wait. We cry. We don't declare a thing. You don't declare a thing. We rehearse and rehearse and rehearse the battle. We rehearse our land being destroyed. We rehearse our children not being where they need to be. We rehearse that our finances aren't the way they should be. We rehearse because my husband and I aren't getting along. Not true at my house, but we rehearse. God says, no, 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 no. We need to take control of what's going on at this point. But just haphazardly coming to church, reading only your daily bread when you feel like it, praying in church when you think it's cute, but never praying at home, not speaking words of life, not, here's a big one, not calling out sin when it's in your presence. Hallelujah. Not calling it out. Bypassing. They're grown. They can do what they need to do. I don't have anything to do with that. That's his life. That's how he lives. That's her life. That's how she lives. No, call it out. You have power. Wondrous, working power from the blood that was shed for you on Calvary's cross. That was a big sacrifice. I mean, we sing about it. We close with it. But think about it. Okay. I'll stay to the paper. All right. So you got to prepare for this battle. You can't be vulnerable. You can't be a flawed vessel. God has called you. He's spiritually equipped you to go forward. How many people want to move forward today? Amen. Identify a place in your life where you want to move forward. You know, it's like an action plan at work. You know, what's the next step?
Right.
It's battle ready today. So you need to come against the enemy and God's authority. And I like when I try to get into it myself, because sometimes I do. I'm not going to lie. I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. Because when you drop it on me, if I don't catch myself, I'm going to respond right away. And I can't guarantee you that what I respond is going to be exactly what God would want me to say. So I had to learn to be quiet. As I say to myself, I study to be quiet.
Yeah.
No matter how bad the situation is, and it may require a response right away, I have to study to be quiet. Then I hear what God is saying. Then I speak. And then I can trust in God. And I can trust everything in him that's going on with this situation. I can't be wise in my own eyes anymore. You know, I like to say this because I'm older now, but I've been saved for a while. That is so cool. You know, excuse me, I'm breaking camp for a minute. But you know what? Because the enemy has you think about all the bad things that you've done in your life over and over and over again. I dare you to sit down and calculate the time that you are not saved in comparison to the time that you have been saved. I mean, blood bought, living in accordance to the word. And you'll realize you've been saved longer than you were in trouble. You're saved longer than you were out there in the world. You were saved longer than your last deficit. You're saved. I don't know. That excited me. I don't know. Made me feel good because I could do a good job to beat myself up sometimes.
Yeah.
Other people sometimes try to do it. But, you know, I can remember. You know, I can remember. I can remember what I did. I can remember what I said. I can remember who I was. But when God gave me this revelation, I was able to say, but I'm not that anymore. I'm not that anymore. God is good. That is, it's good for me. It's good for me. The enemy knows when you have esteem issues. We don't like to talk about them a lot because we can dress them up and do different things with them. But because he knows we have a weakness in that area, that's why all those things continuously come up. And when they come up and we're not able to rebuke them and put them in their proper place, they make us weak. They make us put us in a position where we don't think that we're capable of doing things, and we don't think that we're saved enough sometimes, or I don't know as much word, or I really can't preach like this one, or I can't preach like that one. But God says, just go. Just go. Open up your mouth and do it. Not anymore do we deal with the fact that we're not capable. Oh, just go. Look, that's, you know, that's stuff we don't even need to think about anymore. So we can't be wise in our own eyes. We can't be in a position where we feel like we're inferior. And we have to realize that every time we delay or disrupt the process that God has put in place for deliverance, we have stretched the issue. We have stretched the time in the problem. We have stretched the drama. Every time we move out of his way of doing it, when we decide to address it verbally ourselves, when we just want to call somebody out ourselves, when we go pick one scripture and try and lay it on somebody instead of giving them a word that can change them in their heart. Think about it. Think about it. We delay it. Enemy doesn't delay it. It's us not being prepared, not being ready, not being in a position to move forward. Amen?
Amen.
And then we need to realize, before we get into the steps and be done with it, it's a decisive battle. Some battles are scrimmages. Some are, you know, not as important, you know, but a decisive battle is a strong-minded battle. It's a conclusive battle. It's a firm battle with a final result. So what you do is you say, with God's power, we're not going to go through this again. Because how many times do we end up fighting about the same issues? How many times are we praying about the same problems? Well, how many times are we lifting up the same child, same work co-worker, you know, same family member? We got to put it in our mind like we're going in the way God wants us to go in. And this is the last, I mean, we've done it as mothers. This is the last time I'm going to talk to you about this. You know, this. I'm not going to form my mouth to say this to you again. It is the last time. Right. But look at the battle the same way. It's the last time. It's the last time that I'm going to have to be in this position again. It's the last time I'm turning it over to the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. He's going to guide me through it. But I'm not going to be a passenger in this. I'm going to be ready so he can use me whichever way he wants to go. If he's moving left, I'm going left. If he's moving right, I'm going right. Wherever he says, however he moves, just like that. It's going to be seamless. You know, that means there can be no Ann in this process, or there can be no Charlene in this process. Amen? Not picking on you, but just looking at you. Okay? Hallelujah. He's good. Listen, you know what? I'm in the midst of being delivered myself.
Yeah.
So if it looks like I'm taking a long time, but it's sinking into my spirit,
right.
And it's letting me know what I need to do. Because once I say this, I have to live this. And there is no turning back. And it's wonderful if you're delivered from the word when you get up and do it. That's great. It flows. It's smooth. But when the Holy Ghost is working on you as you're talking to somebody else, sometimes it's a brief pause. I'm sorry. Yeah. God is good like that. I'm going to take it. I'm going to receive it. Because I got to have mine. I'm sorry. I'm going to be 60 in August, and I can't stand to make the same mistakes again. Help me, Lord. Ain't no shame to my game. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
So the first thing is 8 steps, and I'll be real quick and out of your way.
Take your time. Yeah.
Despite the circumstances, be alert and hear God.
Yes.
Yeah. Judges 6:12 reads, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." What I like about that is 2 things. Where he found him, he was hiding, and he was in a wine press, and I believe he was threshing some wheat, and he was just trying to get this done so he didn't get caught by the Midianites. But here he is, and God calls him a mighty man of valor. I like that, because he heard the angel of the Lord, but he didn't call him Gideon. He didn't call him by his Baal name. He didn't call him that. He called a mighty man of valor. Do you know what God calls you? Are you familiar with his voice when he calls you? Does he call you a virtuous woman? Does he call you a woman of power? Does he call you a man of strength? Does he call you the head of your family? Does he call you a hard worker? What does he call you? If you don't know the name that he's calling you, you can't be alert and hear him. So you need to check yourself and make sure that you are hearing God.
Yeah.
And you make sure that the Holy Spirit is calling you. And know what he's calling you.
Yeah.
Mighty man of valor. Man of valor.
Yeah.
That means no matter that you're hiding in a corner right now, okay, I may not have my own home. No matter that you're trying to hide from a group of people, okay, I may not have enough money. You know, all of that, you may not be what he's calling you yet.
Yeah.
This was a man that was hiding, trying to thresh some wheat. And God said, mighty man of valor.
Wow.
You can't look at your circumstances. You cannot look at your circumstances and let that identify you.
Yeah.
Know what God is calling you.
That.
So despite the circumstances, be alert.
Yeah.
That means be prayed up.
Right.
That means know your word. That means be able to yield to the word of God as he speaks to you.
Yeah.
And expect him to speak to you. You know, there's so many people that think he doesn't talk to them.
Right.
Oh, my God, we got it going on all day long. All day long. He's talking to me, and I'm talking to him. And we're moving like that because I wouldn't be able to live, you know, if I didn't have that communication. So if this is foreign to you and you haven't heard God and you really don't know what your name is and you don't know where you stand in your relationship with him, pray.
Yeah.
Pray. Anything he calls you, he'll identify in his word.
Yeah.
Amen? Okay? Second thing is be prepared to tear down and destroy anything that does not give God
honor. That's right.
whatever it is in your life,
yeah.
if it's not glorifying God,
right.
if it's taking your time, if it's taking your energy, if it's taking your money, it's your God.
Mm.
It's your God.
Uh-huh.
If it's the way that you're approaching ministry and it's all about you and all you can see that things are wrong and this should be done this way and this should be done that way, you've become your own God. If you can't submit to leadership,
yeah.
if you can't put yourself in a position where you can hear and learn from others without being critical,
yeah.
got to tear it down.
Right.
You got to tear it down. We need to go through and look at the altars. I had set up altars for my children and years ago, and thank God I'm delivered from that now. And I had to make sure that they were perfect and everything was fine for them. And whatever they did, that's how I moved. If they were doing good, I was doing good. If they were getting crazy, then I became crazy.
Wow.
Then I got to the point and I realized that, you know, they were continuously doing what the enemy wanted them to do, and they were having a grand time, and I have made them my gods, and I'm forgetting what God wants me to do.
Wow.
So I had to separate it. I had to separate it. So anything that stands in the way of me serving God is not part of my life.
Right.
See, Gideon had to go and tear down some of his father's stuff,
yeah.
some altars that were there because they were worshiping idols.
That's
and
right.
he had to tear all of that down before he could even get started. I got to clean the slate.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes you're going to have to go into your house, and I would even suggest today, clean the slate.
Yeah.
Start praying. Start going from room to room. Start talking to person, those that live there with you that don't want to honor God and you know they're a disruption, tear down the altar. I'm not saying you put people in the street, but also I'm saying you put order in the house.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And praise God. So you got to tear it down. Tear it down. Amen. So that's Judges 6 and 25, if you're keeping track with me on that one. And so he gets to that point, and right now it's all right to seek reassurance. Judges 6 and 37, and behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, and thou hast said. So that's Gideon again. You know, to me, I think what God has done already would be more than enough. You know, he's already called me a mighty man of valor. He's already having me tearing down my daddy's stuff that was a generational curse that could not be part of my life. But it's time for him to move forward. He still needs some reassurance. And sometimes that happens in our life. You know, we get a word from God that we need to do this or we need to do that. And it's not bad to question, but it's bad to question with a mindset of not doing what God would have you to do. Amen? Can I say that? Yeah. It's not bad to question it, but you have to have a mindset of I'm trying to understand what God needs me to do. I need to be empowered. I'm still a little shaky on this thing. All right, she said I could do this, but I don't know. I'm not really comfortable. So this is where Gideon's at right now. So I'm not really comfortable with this. I know what you're saying, God. You know, you're really turning this thing over to me. We're going to get this army together. We're going to go forward. We're going to take down the Midianites. But just show me one more thing. Just show me one more thing. So he did, and it was done. And then he came back again and said, you know what, let's reverse this.
Yeah.
All right, let's reverse this. And you, when you read on your own, you'll see it.
Yeah.
And then it happens again. And he says, okay, I'm ready to go. So that means don't let confusion stop you. Don't put yourself in a position where you freeze like a deer in a headlight or something like that when you're challenged to do something for God that does not even sound reasonable in your mindset. Sometimes we have to set our sights on the things that are unreasonable. You know why? Because we're in this world. We're not of it. Okay? So we don't want the normal response to things. We want the supernatural response to things that are going on in our life. So if they say that, you know, you're going to get this and that, we believe God for what the maximum may be. And it's up to him to provide it for us. I'm not going to live beneath my privilege. I'm not going to do it. God has made me the head and not the tail.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the best. But sometimes I might need to be reassured. So I'm going to open up my scripture. I'm going to go into prayer. You know, that's my fleece that I put out. You know, and God then will confirm with me in his word as to what my next step would be.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so we're almost done. Number four, halfway there. All right. Don't be afraid to downsize.
Oh, my goodness.
Everybody cannot spiritually participate.
Right.
Judges chapter 7, you can read it for yourself. Verse 2. Scripture goes and it tells us that he gets all the folks together. Everybody's there. They're excited. They want to be part of this. Just like anything else. Yeah. Whenever you say, we're going to do this new campaign, I need everybody to come. And everybody comes and they fill up the pews. But when it comes down to time to do business, some of these folks are no longer there. Their enthusiasm has got them to a point where they really can't participate to the end. And so this is what happened here. God said, too many people. We got too many people. We got groups of people in here that are not going to be beneficial to do what needs to be done. Plus the sheer volume, I'm not going to get the glory.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get the glory. So when you have issues going on in your life and you're calling this one and you're calling that one and you're texting this one and you're looking at this YouTube and then you're following this on Facebook and you're following and you're following and you're looking and all these things that you need, downsize. Downsize. You got to cut some people out. I'm sorry. Help me, Holy Ghost.
It's all right.
Okay. As you grow spiritually, as you learn to be more of what God would have you to be, everybody doesn't match anymore. Women, it's very important for us. When we go out, we're going to put on a blue dress. We're going to put on some blue shoes. Everything is probably going to coordinate around that. But with our lifestyles, we're not as careful. Men, you're the same way. Your tie, your shoes, your socks, all of that, there's a pattern there. All works together. But when we talk about those that we're interacting with, they don't fit God's plan for your life. Help me, Holy Ghost. They're fearful. You call them up, and all they want to do is talk about the problem with you.
Yeah.
All right? They'll let you go on for 20 minutes with the drama, and then they come in with 20 more minutes of their drama.
Yeah.
Then you get off the phone, and you don't feel any better.
Wow.
Amen? Only in my life? I don't know.
You're in the house.
So tons of them got wiped out as far as Gideon was concerned because they were fearful. They weren't going to make it through the battle. Yeah, they just signed up. They were weak. They wanted to be at home. But they just came because everybody else was coming. You know, I'm going to come with you because everybody else is coming. I need you to come pray with me here. But you're coming with me just because everybody else is coming and you don't have a prayer. You don't have a word. You don't have anything that's going to lift me up through this. I don't need you.
Right.
I don't need you. Keep it close. I guess I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Keep it close.
Yeah.
In these end times, keep it close. You don't have time to play with people. You know, you don't have time to drag people in and out of your life. You know, listen, I'm not here to make you happy. I'm just here to give you some instructions. You do what you want to do with them, I'm going to get delivered by it. Because y'all looking at me like, oh. You don't know. You don't know my friends. You don't know the people I hang around with. Yeah, I do. That's why I'm preaching. Hallelujah. All right, I'm done. Just want to get it right for the Lord, you know? I just want to make it free, want to make it easy. Cut them off. Cut them off. I don't care, 30, 40 years, cut them off. All right? Cousins, aunts, uncles, cut them off. Titles and time have nothing to do with anointing. Okay? Jesus, help me, God. God, you're good. You're good. You're good. You're good. Listen, okay, so there's still some more folks left. If you need the number, read the book. But there's still some more folks left. And God says, you know what? It's dry, it's hot. Get them down there by the water. Watch them. See how they drink. So some of them, good number, put their head down.
There it is.
Drank the water with the head down.
Yeah.
All they were concerned was with the water. Didn't know what was going on around them. Didn't know what the next step was going to be. But I got me some water. It's been hot. It's thirsty. I got me some water. Got to go. They're distracted. They're distracted. That's like having people in your life that have so much drama on their own that they can't take care of. But they're trying to give you direction. They're going to tell you what God said. You know, I'm not saying that people do not have things in their life. Because surely I do. More than enough. But I need a word from somebody who knows the word. I need a word from somebody who's alert. I need a word from somebody that can put their hands down into the water, pull it up to their mouth, and do a little laughing. Because, see, while they're drinking, they're looking. While they're drinking, they're seeing what's going on. You know? Check your friends. Give them some water. Got to give it to them in a bowl of them. Hallelujah. Love you, Jesus. I'm almost done with this. Man, you got to move these folks out that are a hindrance to God's plan. I'm sorry if this is not lofty enough for you. I'm sorry if I'm not using big enough words, but you know, the fight is on. Seriously, the fight is on. You know, when it's a quiet time, we can get real into this and we can dissect it. I'll give you the Greek and I'll give you that and I'll give you this because I can do that too. But right now, I got to get you ready for the battle. Praise God. So he breaks it down. He breaks it down. God breaks it down to like 300. And so number five is only work with God's special forces. Special forces, Reverend Dixon, are designed to do an elite job in the most efficient way. They're trained. They're prepared. And also, they're not scared to die. You know? They are not scared to die. So when you look around those that are supporting you, are they strong? Are they spiritually strong? And your relationships, male to female and female to male, is he strong? Is she strong? Does she lift you up in the word? Is that a special forces type relationship? Can you move forward with that person? I mean, if you go home and Google Army Rangers, and you go home and Google Delta Force, and you go home and Google Green Berets, or you go home and look at Black Ops, do the people that you surround yourself with, do they fall into those categories? Okay, are they strong spiritually? Can they pray? Do they know how to rebuke the enemy? Can they speak a word of life? Are they not afraid to go anywhere with you? That means if you got to go to the drug house to get your grandbaby out, then you'll go to the drug house to get your grandbaby out. Listen, I don't care. Ain't no shame to my game. Ain't no shame to me serving Jesus. Ain't no shame to this. No matter what it is. Are they going to turn their back and talk about you? Are they going to call up and inquire about you? Are they going to pray? Are they going to lay hands on you? What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Are they an extension of Facebook? Are they an extension of Mass Live? Help me, Holy Ghost. I need some special forces. I need some special forces. You don't have to talk to me about my situation. All you got to do is get down and pray. You know when to show up. You know when support is needed. You come sit down and just look in my face. That's the way life is. That's the way life is. All right? I'm sorry. It's serious. You may be looking. I mean, I got looks at me. It's like, it doesn't take all that. Maybe not for you. I don't know what your life consists of. But in my life, that's what it takes. Give me some special forces. Give me some Holy Ghost. Special forces. Listen, the world calls them dark operators. They're usually undercover. You don't even know who they are. You could be sitting next to one right now. Right now. Special forces, right there. Special forces, right there. Special forces, right there. Yeah. You're thinking about other people, but now think about yourself. As you look to encourage someone else, are you coming as a special force or are you coming as an annex to Facebook? I love God. I do. I love God. I need the Lord. Amen. Amen. Number six, expect a preview of the victory. So even with all this going on and the army shut down and we got some special forces, there's still a little fear rising up in Gideon. Little bit's coming up. So the Lord hooks him up with someone. I think it's Puha, if I'm saying it properly. And then he has them actually go down to the Midianite camp. And when he goes down there, there's a person that's telling another person about a dream that they had. And in that particular dream, the Israelite camp came and overtook them all. And Gideon said, oh, yes, that's enough. That's enough. He knew in advance that I got this. I got this. So that means sometimes you have to look at the enemy and see the victory. You're not going to see the problem. You're not going to see the circumstances. Yes, all of that is real. Yes, if you're in the hospital and the doctor comes and he tells you thus, thus, and so, that's his job. He's supposed to. But we as saints, we see the victory. We see the healing. We see the deliverance. We see the jail sentence turned. We see all of those things done in advance. Amen. God, you don't have, I don't have to wait for you to do it. If you tell me, it's going to happen.
Yes.
That's the mindset that we need to have every day. If God said it, it's going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm almost finished. I'm almost finished. Last two things.
Yes.
He's good. Is it helping somebody? Can you feel your life changing right now? God bless you if you do. If your heart is hardened, I pray that it softened before the end of the word. In the name of Jesus. God's plan and your battle cry and declaration will confound the enemy. Went down with a few number of people. Definitely, definitely outnumbered.
Mm-hmm.
Put some things in place. Had some vessels, had some thorns, trumpets,
mm-hmm.
you know, had some lamps. Set everything up strategically.
Yeah.
And then the battle began.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I love about God. Expect victory without a fight.
Yeah.
Expect victory without a fight.
That's good.
The enemy got so confused, they began to fight each other. The enemy got so overwhelmed, they fled on their own. Doesn't talk about Gideon having to pull a sword. Doesn't talk about anything of that nature. But they were able to declare that Gideon was the one with the power through God to bring them through this.
Uh-huh.
How many times have you declared God's power over a circumstance? How many times have you spoken directly to the circumstance itself and said the word of God says, and then begin to rejoice. Nothing has changed. Nobody has moved. Finances are still the same. Illness may still be there, but I'm declaring in the name of Jesus that my household shall be saved. I'm declaring in the name of Jesus that my legs will be strengthened and my knees will be able to work. I'm declaring in the name of Jesus that my health will be lined up with the word of God. I'm declaring in the name of Jesus I'm prosperous and I'm doing well. I'm declaring. See, it's different than saying. It's different than reading. A declaration is this is what it is and this is what it's going to be. And then step back and wait for God to do what he does.
Yeah.
I love it. And says they stood and every man in his place round about the camp and all the host ran, cried, and fled. Love it, Trinitarian. They'll run, they'll cry, and they will flee.
Yeah.
I'm done. Praise God.
All right.
I don't know what kind of climax you were looking for. I don't know what special thing I could have said that would have made it better or different for you. But I do have to realize the only reason that we can be battle ready right now, because 2,000 years ago, God sent his only begotten son, Jesus the Christ, to be born on this earth. You see, we try to be good enough. We tried to pray enough. We tried to live by the law, but we were never battle ready. We couldn't do it. We couldn't keep things in order. So God, Jesus said, let me do this. Give me a body. Let me go in. Let me step through 40 and two generations. Let me go ahead and be born in a manger. Let me go ahead and grow up like a young man. Let me be obedient to my parents. And then when it's time for me to go into ministry, prepare me to do what you would have me to do. You see, I'm ready. I'm ready to heal the sick. And see, I'm ready. I'm ready to raise the dead. I'm ready. I'm ready to preach and teach in the temple. I'm ready to call 12 apostles. I'm ready to have disciples follow me everywhere. You see, I'm ready. I'm ready even to take fish and bread and feed 5,000. And said it wasn't the children or the women, but fed 5,000. I'm ready. I'm battle ready. They're not, but I am. And so that's what Jesus did. And nothing slowed him down. And this is what I love. He loved his father, so he was about his father's work. He didn't look to glorify himself. He looked to glorify his father and everything he did. So as the father said, that is what he did. Even up to Calvary's cross. Even when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. They said the blood, tears were coming down like blood. But he said, not my will, but thine. Because he's battle ready. Battle ready. Jesus himself went up to Calvary's cross took all of the sins of the world, took everything that we could possibly ever do. He already experienced it, and he already has been cleansed from it. He gave up his life for us there, church. He gave up not just so we could come to church every Sunday and get dressed up, not so we could live good lives and maybe look down on other people that don't live like we live. He gave his life for us so we could have everlasting life, so we could be joined with the Father again. We have been separated. Hallelujah. They put him in a borrowed tomb. Third day, he got up. All power in his hands. Battle ready. All power. He went around. They saw him. He gave instructions. He left the Holy Spirit. He went up and ascended. And he's there right now next to his Father. And he's making intercession for me and for you because I believe in him. And I have confessed with my mouth. And I do believe in my heart. And I believe in him not because I go to church. I believe in him because the word says I'm supposed to. Because going to church does not save you. Going to church does not deliver you. Going to church does not make you battle ready. Help Jesus. But he's there. He's interceding on my behalf.
Thank you, Jesus.
But listen, when he came as a lamb. He came to care for us. He came to make sure that we are able to have a good way back to the Father. He came. And we're here, and we still have time, and we can accept him, and he can be the head of your life.
Oh my goodness.
And he is there with his Father.
Yeah.
But whoa. He's coming again.
Yeah.
And he's not coming battle ready. He's coming to take over.
Yeah.
Take over. Take over. Yeah. Truth, faithfulness.
Yes, 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 yes.
So I suggest to you right now, and then I will move out of your way. Get it right with Jesus. Stop playing games. Stop coming in and out. Stop finding sources that are not like God that you're letting guide you. Get it right with Jesus. Be here. Get saved. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Live a holy life. Stop playing. Stop playing with the Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. Battle ready.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God.